Hello, parents, homeschoolers, and teachers. Trusty narrator here from the Who Smarted podcast. Our 15-minute episodes are perfect for car rides, bedtime, break time, class time, or any time. We make learning science and history fun and funny for 7 to 11-year-olds with new episodes every week. Look for Who Smarted on any podcast platform or at whosmarted.com. And teachers get a free subscription to our ad-free version by clicking educators at whosmarted.com.
Today, Oscar-winning actress and children's author Reese Witherspoon dishes on the passion project keeping her very busy. Plus, the social media sensation who turned his hurt into healing, how his words of wisdom are helping millions of followers. And we'll whip up a tasty Taco Tuesday treat you'll want to eat every day of the week.
So it's Today with Hoda and Jenna. It all starts right now. So get up.
Hi guys, it's Tuesday, it's October 4th.
Ow.
Hey.
Oh my gosh, y'all, we have reasons to celebrate.
I mean,
our team seems to be celebrating.
Yeah.
But also, it's National Taco Day.
You cannot beat National Taco Day.
And it's my best friend Reese Witherspoon Day.
Wait a minute. So you and Reese are besties? What's her favorite color?
That is so rude.
No, I just wondered. I mean, besties know these
things. I'm going to ask her.
Okay.
I think she likes pink.
Okay, I think that's going to be awesome.
But I'm not, or blue.
That's awesome.
I'm not sure. It'll be fun
Can
to have her on.
Can I tell you something that happened yesterday?
Yes.
That reminded me that sometimes the feelings that you have from childhood, like, never go away.
Yes.
Okay, so I had a shoot with the Harlem Globetrotters, which is fun by itself. So while I was there, I was interviewing them and they were doing their tricks. And I used to play high school basketball. So whenever I hold a ball, my heart like goes a little, like I still have the feeling of the gym and the ball. So they go, what was the play that you played in your head over and over? I said, oh my gosh. Well, there's like a screen here, top of the key. I shoot 5 seconds on the clock. They go, we're doing it. I'm not kidding. My hands got sweaty like I was when I was a kid. They go, all right, 5 seconds on the clock. And the Harlem Globetrotters were there. I stood. I ran around two screens. The guy threw me the ball. I looked at that basket. I centered up. I did what the coach said. You put your elbow like this. I followed through.
And did you nail it?
I nailed it.
Yes!
And I got so excited that my eyes started welling up like when I was a kid. And I realized in that moment, you can actually feel the things you felt. Like, I looked at the Harlem Globetrotters, they go, are you crying? I said, kind of, because it reminded me, because I used to fall in love with basketball.
Yes.
I cried when we lost. I cheered when we won. I dreamt about it.
Yes,
like, it was my thing. And it was so fun. Like, I didn't know that was still there.
Yes.
Like, sometimes after all those years, like, you wonder, like, if you saw your favorite band that you knew when you were a kid, would you have those feelings.
Do you know what? It reminds me of yesterday. Donna did a piece where that woman talking about happiness said, find awe in things.
Awe, yeah.
And you, of course you can find awe in like in beautiful
Grand Canyon.
Nature.
Right.
But you found awe in a basketball.
Oh my God. It was like in slow motion. Everything was happening in slow motion. And they all cheered like, you know, when you were like a kid and everyone jumped on top of each
other. Did you ever play horse?
Yeah.
That's what I played.
Horse is great.
I played horse and pig with my dad. Like,
horse is like, that's
for hours.
Yes. It's like, it's that feeling. It's like nothing but net.
Yes.
And you feel it. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say just nothing but net. But okay, I had a really fun night. I got to go see John Legend last night.
Oh my God.
He has this new Audible record out where he talks, you know, about his life. And first of all, he has an extraordinary life.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he was raised. His parents were very happy. He was raised in the church. And at some point, his mom suffered from addiction and had to kind of leave the family. And so he went, and his grandmother, at the same time, his grandmother died.
Oh.
So he went from having these two women who not only raised him, but were his music idols.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That one was a singer, the other played the organ in church. Mm. And then he had to kind of, you know, not raise
figure
himself, but figure it out. He didn't have these two women that were
wow.
so important to him. But anyway, he said something mm-hmm. that I loved. Mm-hmm. He said, you've got it. He said, I've always been a collaborator. And that was kind of easy when he was this kid from
yeah,
Penn.
Yeah, because he needed.
Yeah, he needed.
Right.
He worked with Kanye West and with Lauryn Hill. Mm. And he said, but I realized that what, you know, to be open, mm-hmm. to listen, mm-hmm. to be a collaborator mm-hmm. is what makes me like great. So to put the ego away and be a collaborator. And I just thought that's it.
Because he's a star.
Yes.
And when I picture him, I don't picture him with anybody. I picture him.
Totally.
But that's telling.
That he wants to like listen to somebody that says, oh, wait, I have a good lyric, or what about this, or what about that?
Instead of saying, no, honey,
yeah.
I'm John Legend.
Yes.
I know how to do this.
Yeah.
I've been doing it for a long time.
I mean, that there's enough humility to be open to collaboration.
I think that those are the people who probably keep evolving and growing. Like, I've worked in our industry, and there are some people who think they know
yeah.
everything. And no matter what you say, they're like, yeah, I've done that.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been there. It's like, but we all have, but you're still learning. Like, there are things to learn from every single person
yes.
in here. But that was cool
that
he said that.
I loved it. And Henry goes, amen, sister. About, like, because I think that in partnerships, whether it's this,
right.
friendships,
or your relationship
your marriage,
with Henry.
You
so he said, amen, like, we're a collaborator.
Yeah, like, he was like, that's us, collaborator.
He said, amen, sister.
I think he was talking to me. He might have been talking to John Legend.
Or to himself.
The other woman sitting there, but I think it was to me.
All right.
Okay, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Mm.
We love
oh, yeah.
her. She just posted this photo to her Instagram account.
Just recently. And this is the caption. It says, then and now, fiction and fact, art imitating life.
Okay, the top photo
yeah.
is when she first played Laurie Strode in the Halloween movie franchise. That's 1978.
Oh my gosh. Well, the latest Halloween comes out next week. And she's just, wait, what?
I mean, that scares me. What scares me is that photo. I mean, I think it's amazing that she's done it so long, but Halloween is really terrifying. Like, even that picture in black and white, like, doesn't that scare? Look at her in the top. Who
yeah,
is she calling on that old phone?
I don't remember, but Jamie's on the same old phone right
now. That
the
old phone! Get on your cell phone! He's coming for you!
By the way, there's nothing worse than watching someone in slow motion do something when they should be getting out.
Get off the phone! It doesn't work! Do you know what I mean? Why is she on that phone?
Click, hello?
On Instagram. He's after you.
All right. So she told Rolling Stone this. I thought it was the end years. What?
I thought it was the end years ago.
Oh.
Like, she thought that Halloween
okay.
was over years
okay.
ago.
Keep going.
But the last thing in the world I thought I would ever do again was a Halloween movie. But there, here she is.
I think she loved it. I think there are certain things that you love and you go back to.
I mean,
I think, no
you
question.
You just talked about basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did it make you want to get a net and play with the girls?
No, it made me.
No?
No, it just made me realize that I was so happy that I loved something that much.
Yes.
That this many years later, I could still feel it. Like, ugh. When you love something that much. I mean, but when you are in something for a long, 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 long time, like Jamie Lee Curtis has been in that. And Jamie Lee Curtis has a million iterations of herself.
Yes.
She's been through and done a million other movies. I feel like she goes back to that because she enjoys
yes.
it. It's fun. People love it.
Yeah, but it's not like the only thing
no.
she does.
No.
You know, it's interesting. It's like, it's when do you say goodbye? You know, we've
yeah.
talked about this before.
Yeah. It's a hard thing to do. I think when you love something, it's hard to leave it.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. And there's always that saying of like, leave on top, that's when you should leave. But I think a lot of people hold on. Like, I remember when I lived in New Orleans and I was, I loved New Orleans and
yeah.
I still love it.
You
it's
do.
My
it's
favorite
so
city.
It's so fun to see New Orleans through your
yeah,
eyes.
It's my favorite on earth. And I got a job offer for Dateline here. And I remembered thinking, how could I leave this beautiful city that I love in a place that loved me back?
Yeah.
And I knew they did.
Yes.
And I knew that they would take care of me, the city and the people and all that stuff. And I was sort of the big honcho at the,
yes.
the station. Like I mean,
you believe me, I've been to New Orleans with you.
And then I was thinking about, okay, I'll move to New York where I'll work with Dateline with a ton
yes.
of other people. I may or may not survive because it's hard,
yes.
you know, that kind of thing. But it's scary. It's like you stand on the edge of a cliff and you decide, am I going to jump or not? And then I kept thinking, if I don't jump, will I be here wondering?
And would you have?
Yes, been? I would have wondered. I would have wondered. Like, did I make a mistake?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, like to me, all my easy decisions come in, can I put my head on the pillow and rest?
Yes.
like, did I make the right decision? Like, yeah. Risking it, at least I know I won't wonder. I can't live my life worrying.
You know what? My mom's piece of advice, whenever we've asked, like, should we do this? Barbara, you know, had a great job, but she wanted to start this non-for-profit. And she said, Mom, I can't decide. Like, should I leave this good job? Should I do it? And she said, what's the worst that can happen? It could fail, or it could remain on your to-do list forever.
Ooh,
let's
that's good.
Check it off the to-do
list. Remain on your to-do list forever.
Want it to... Yeah. You liked it?
I liked it. Laura Bush. Yeah.
All right. It's a new month.
I'm so excited because I always look forward to your Read with Jenna pick, but this one is special, unique, and different from all of the rest.
Oh, it's super exciting. So drum roll, please. Mm-hmm. Our October pick is The Whalebone Theater by Joanna Quinn. And I'm really excited because this is a joint selection with Read with Jenna and the Queen Consort Camilla.
Wait, can you just say that again?
The Queen Consort Camilla.
And you are teaming up?
Yes, we're teaming up.
You're teaming up with the Queen of England, the Queen Consort?
Yes, I am. Okay. And one thing that y'all may not know about her is she's a reader. She loves books. And she started her own book club right after the pandemic. It is called The Reading Room.
The Reading Room.
She's chosen some really great picks. And so we've decided to join forces. And we've picked this incredible debut novel for both of our readers on each side of the pond.
So people in London are going to be reading with people over here?
Yes, they are. And I'm so excited. It's a debut novel. It takes place in an English manor during World War II. And it's all about this little girl who is an orphan. Mm. She feels alone, and yet she has her imagination. Mm. And it's really, really beautiful. I hope people will read with us.
Wow. Okay, I want to see more about it. How can I see more?
Oh, you know what? All you have to do is go to today.com/readwithjenna.
You know why Jenna's a good listener? I'll tell you why. Because she was looking in my eyes the whole time, and I'm very conscious that Reese Witherspoon is right. She's right behind me. And you know what you didn't do? You didn't go like this.
I mean, she's wearing a red suit, too.
I know, but you know what? That's why you're focused. Do you see how focused she was?
I say hi to y'all, too.
I know. Jenna was like in my eyes.
I was trying.
And by the way, I felt Reese's presence. That's how her presence is. But coming up next, we're going to talk to the movie star, mom, and media mogul.
Media mogul, the one and only Reese Witherspoon. She's going to join us right after this.
You are such a good listener.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Bush Hager from Today with Hoda and Jenna and the Read with Jenna Book Club. There's nothing I love more than sharing my favorite reads with all of you, except maybe talking to the exceptional authors behind these stories. And that's what I'll be doing on my podcast, Read with Jenna. I'll be introducing you to some of my favorite writers. These conversations will leave you feeling inspired and entertained.
To start listening, just search Read with Jenna wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Willie Geist here, reminding you to check out the Sunday Sit Down podcast. On this week's episode, I get together with Chris Pine to talk about a career that has taken him from Star Trek to Wonder Woman, and now the new film he wrote, directed, and stars in called Pool Man. You can get our conversation for free wherever you download your podcasts.
Okay, do you know why it's a terrific Tuesday, Hoda?
Because... Oscar-winning actress, media mogul, producer, mom of three, Reese Witherspoon is here.
Oh, it's Reese Witherspoon Day. And Reese, do you know that it's also Taco Day? National Taco Day.
It's also, wait, today's not Tuesday, is it?
Yes,
it is. But in addition to being Tuesday.
Every Tuesday is Taco Tuesday, y'all.
National Taco Day.
That's incredible.
Can I please get to the bottom of something? This is important.
Yes.
Ever since we've been on the air together, this girl has said your name probably 20 times on air. I love
did
Reese Witherspoon.
Did we put together a montage?
Wait, she's my bestie.
I did not.
Yes, you did. Now, tell me about your friendship.
Well, first of all, we've been friends a very, very long time, and we really have bonded over being Southern and also book lovers. And when, you know, she talks about her mother's love of reading and my mother's love and my grandmother being a teacher, and we just have always bonded over that.
And with her sister, too, Barbara.
Well, Barbara and I recently went on a girl's trip, and you were just asking me, because you got a little bit jealous.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
How come you
And I understand, because I kept saying to Barbara,
it's Jenna.
How come I wasn't invited? Yeah. Well, because I have to be here with you Monday through
Thursday.
I have to say this. Yeah. I've admired you. And I think about you is that you have set this bar, not like even in Hollywood. You're an incredible mother. Mm-hmm. You are a mogul.
Thank you.
Like, first of all, would this little girl have thought that she would be a mogul?
Never. I wrote this book because during the pandemic, I was looking through childhood pictures and remembering that I had started all these businesses as a little girl, that I had learned kind of early business concepts when I was just practicing having lemonade stands or cupcake stands or, hello? So I thought, wouldn't it be cute to write about me as a little girl? I was that girl in class who was always talking and got in trouble with the teacher.
I want to talk about the book in a second, but were you always a confident child? Would you call yourself
confident?
That?
I was kooky.
You were kooky.
I was very creative and all over the place. And I think sometimes it was hard for the teachers because I would break out in song and I was obsessed with Dolly Parton and I would not play with the other children, but I would perform for everybody.
So you wanted to be, it's not like you wanted to be seen. Like, I want to be seen.
I just had a big personality.
Yeah. But what I love is that you had a teacher who basically said to your mom, because my mom was slightly worried about me because I love to play dolls so much.
Till she was a teenager.
Yeah, I was a little old. But she read that Toni Morrison loved to, she thought, oh, she'll just write. You know, she's just a creative. But you had a teacher who told your mom she just wants to act. Like, she's going to be an actress.
Yeah, my kindergarten teacher, she was my PE teacher, Patty Wright, who's still at my school. Hi, Patty. She called my mom and said, your daughter's an actress. And my mom was like, what are you talking about? I'm a nurse. Her dad's a doctor. What are you talking about? And she said, she will not stop singing Dolly Parton songs to all the kindergartners, and they are not listening. And she won't play with anybody. She just wants to perform.
Create.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it was actually really beautiful to be seen by one of your teachers like that. And my mom got me in acting classes after that.
I mean, I love that.
I think when people see you, they just see, like, wildly successful. They see a wildly successful person. Did you always felt seen in Hollywood?
Well, no. I mean, look, I had to pay my dues. I had to do, you know, I did the work behind the scenes, too. During high school, I worked as a production assistant because I really wanted to know all sides of the business. And I think it's important to pay your dues. And to that end, I didn't always feel like I had any agency. I had an ability to affect change.
Yeah.
But then as I got a little bit older, I started looking around at the parts for women. They just weren't good
enough. They weren't there,
And I read a lot, so I started optioning books. And
so you said, I'm going to make my opportunities.
I'm going to make my opportunities.
Female-focused.
Yeah, and I really think that when I was seeing that there was a problem for me and a lack of opportunities for me, I realized that was across the board for all of my actress friends, too. So it's been such a joy and pleasure to grow Hello Sunshine, my company, and get to work with some of my really great friends like Kerry Washington and Jen Aniston. And we have a show coming on with Jennifer Garner and one with Zoe Saldana. So it's been so fun.
I mean, you're creating all of these incredible shows so that our girls, that your daughter, have women to look up to.
Yeah, and you just see a wider range of the female experience when women are the authors of their own stories.
Wow. Are you guys all real close friends, by the way? You, Jen Aniston, Jen Garner.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've all been around for forever. You know, we've been through hills and valleys together. Yeah. And yeah, it means a lot that I have friendships where I can call, like, I called Aniston last week and I was like, I have to talk to you. It's really important. We share a lot of commonality growing up in a business together.
Does it feel weird to be on a morning show couch since, you
know? Oh, my God.
Are you having a strange moment?
We do not wake up as early as you guys do.
But you pretend you do.
We pretend very
well.
Do
you love playing your role?
But I never wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
No, you won't have that.
She just told me she wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I have a rule that I don't wake up with anything before that has a 4 in front of it.
Okay, you wake up at 5. That's
5.
Early.
I'll do 5 a.m.
Okay, wait. We have to ask you this one thing because we like to share your advice on the show. I don't know if you ever see. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish we had a montage. Next time you're here, we'll create one.
Okay.
But this is, you said, is your best advice you ever received. The sooner you figure out that other people's opinions of you are none of your business, it doesn't matter what they think of you, you become totally free. Do you remember? First of all, we love that. We gave a whole 5 minutes to it.
Mm-hmm. You did?
Yes.
Oh, that's so nice.
But do you remember that moment for you? Like, do you remember when you stopped caring what other people think?
You know, I think it was probably right around Legally Blonde, Sweet Home Alabama time. And I just started, I would look at myself online. If I wanted, if I felt bad about myself, I could find more bad information about myself online to just go into the pits. And I thought, you know what, this is really toxic. I can't do this. And I have to remember that other people's opinions aren't my business. That's their private feelings, and especially if they want to put them on the internet. But I don't need to let them into my brain. Because it's just hurtful.
Right. Yeah. You just avoid, you just don't read those kinds of things.
And then I'll never, and Brene Brown's words, like, I'll never dare greatly. I'll never dare be brave because I'll be crippled by the fear that I'm judged. And I know people judge people all day long, but you got to be brave.
And by the way, Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah, how 20 years.
20?
How is that possible?
Is that crazy?
How is that? That's one of my favorite.
I mean, the baby in the bar.
All time. Stop it. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Look at us.
I could watch that. Is there ever going to be a reboot of Sweet Home Alabama?
I hope so. I think that would be a great idea.
Yeah.
Would you be in it?
Yeah, you have to.
We're just trying to manifest some
things. You look exactly the same.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. That sounds fun. Do you guys want me to do that?
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Do we want her to do this? Y'all are quiet.
Okay. Hi.
I'll make some calls.
Okay,
make some calls?
We think
all right,
of anybody
we have a lot to talk about. Okay. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about this great book. My
it's
kids
so
cannot put
fun.
It down. It's called Busy Betty. We're going to talk about that and more coming up after this.
So thank you for being
great.
So,
I love it.
Annalisa Avery, who she said. Coming up tomorrow.
Actress Tamara Mori Housley on her revealing new memoir.
Plus beauty secrets from the TikTok doc with millions of views.
And we'll melt with you when Modern English performs their classic 80s hit.
That's all Wednesday on Hoda and Jenna. Oh, my God. It's like Christmas morning.
It is.
Reese Witherspoon's back with us. She got a great book called Busy Betty.
Yes.
So is this modeled after you, this little girl?
This, little this is based on young me. Mm-hmm. And I used to start businesses when I was little, in, either in the backyard.
Like what kind of business?
Like magic shows.
Oh, yeah.
Performance, lots of performance.
Yes. Do the people have to pay for the performances?
Yes, you have to buy a ticket.
Totally.
You
know?
Of course.
Totally.
Performers need to be paid. and we've done all kinds of businesses. Like we did lemonade stands and cupcake stands and bake sales.
Yeah.
And then eventually I was in the third grade and making my own barrettes and customizing them with paint pens. And I got in a lot of trouble and
Why?
I got sent to the principal's office.
Because you weren't supposed to be selling
the paint
things?
Pens got
the
on the desk.
The paint pens went everywhere and I defaced school property.
I feel like had you been a child now, you could have sold that on Etsy. You know what I mean?
If I was a kid now, I would definitely have an Etsy store.
Right?
100%.
When the principal wagged his finger at you, were you a rule follower? Did it freak you out?
No, I was a creative.
Okay.
So I was like, what are you talking about?
Right.
This is enterprise. I made a profit here. The kids loved it.
I mean, what's
like,
amazing?
You can't run a business out of your desk in the third grade, Reese Witherspoon. No, my parents got called.
I mean, what I love,
really
though, is that you're a creative, but you're also an entrepreneur, which I guess is the same.
Yeah.
But that you're also, like, wanting little girls to see this and think, like,
I can do this.
Like, I can do whatever these other kids do.
I think so. You know, and I'm in the back of the book, I say, I started a business, and it's so you can, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think if we teach young children these concepts of understanding that creativity, because I was a creative kid, but I had to learn how to focus to make it successful.
Yeah.
So her best friend is May, and May comes in and sees the mess she created and says, hold on, I have a business plan. So sometimes you have to partner with people who have a different skill set.
Yeah, that collaboration is so important, you know, to
it's a lot about
open.
Female partnership.
I love that. Can we talk about you as a parent?
Yes. Sure.
I just want to know, like, because we're constantly giving each other parenting tips. You have, your youngest is 10 and your oldest is 23.
Yes.
That's a wide range.
Yes.
Are you still parenting your 23-year-old? I mean, do you...
What does adult parenting look
what
like?
Is that
we just want to be prepared.
Okay. Well, this is what I say to people. You have to have a different relationship
look
with your children as
Y'all are twins.
I can't even look at that
Oh, you
picture.
Think so?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so
Do you
funny.
See it?
She and I don't see it that much.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's... You establish a different relationship. It's about honesty. And it's not about... To me, first of all... You know, you're managing them a lot as when they're little, and it's very physical. Mm-hmm. And then it's more emotional support and suggestions, not telling them what to do when they get a little bit older. But you have to really nurture your adult relationship with your children, too, and give them respect and space to become who they are, not who you want them to be.
Totally.
I love that.
I think that's what this book is about, too, is mm-hmm. that you had these teachers, you had a mom. Mm-hmm. I know this Betty is your mm-hmm. mom's name. Mm-hmm. She's beloved.
I said, Mom, what's the craziest thing I did as a kid? She goes, well, when you learned how to write your name, you were so proud of yourself. You wrote it on the wall and you wrote it on the floor. And she goes, and then one day I took a nap and you wrote it with a stick on the side of the car.
Oh, you were that girl.
But you were so proud of yourself that I couldn't be mad at you.
And your mom is like your dearest.
I know. Well, I named the character after my mother because, yes, she's the love of my life.
Does she still write you the mom text? I have a really good memory, so you may not remember.
You have a really good memory.
She used to write mom texts that were like, Dear Reese.
Love, Mom. Good morning, love, Mom. Dear Reese, I have a business idea for you. A gym for older people where we just stretch. Let's talk about it soon. Love, Mom.
Had she ever heard of curves? Did she know about curves?
No.
Curves.
Curves that still exist.
Yeah, you know curves?
Of course, but does it still exist?
I say sure.
Okay. Yeah, why not?
Why not?
You guys, get busy, Betty.
Oh my gosh,
it's out today. You were so
you.
Fun.
This
Thanks for hanging out with
us. This kid approved, by the way. Yeah. Our kids love,
love.
It.
Love.
Thank
love,
you
love.
For reading it to your kids. Yes. That means so much. I just hope people like it for the spirited child in their life, because it's really about that.
It is. Awesome.
Thank you, Reese.
And you can check it out at today.com/books or wherever you buy your books.
Oh, speaking of books, next up, you guys, an author and a poet whose millions of followers hang on his every inspirational word.
Oh my gosh, we are so excited because Donna's going to introduce us, and he's here to Young Pueblo. Oh. Do you not love him?
Yes.
Okay, we got to introduce him to Reese, but he's joining us just ahead.
I love him so much.
Isn't he amazing?
Yeah.
I know. He's like one of those.
Now to an extraordinary author and poet who's inspiring millions with his words.
We are talking about Young Pueblo, and Donna caught up with him as part of her series up next.
Yes, I sure did. Like many of his over 2 million followers, the words of Young Pueblo really hit hard for me during a time where I needed clarity. And so I was excited to sit down with him and learn more about his journey.
If you've ever scrolled on social media, you may have already come across the words of Young Pueblo. Diego Perez is the poet behind the pen name, inspiring readers with wisdom like, realize how short the walk is from gratitude to happiness, and manage your reactions, but do not suppress your emotions. Since he first began sharing his words of wisdom in 2014, Young Pueblo has connected with over 2 million followers and has written 2 New York Times best-selling books of poetry on topics like self-love, growth, and relationships.
When you first started posting your writing, what was your intent?
I wanted to write about healing being possible. Just hopefully inspire someone else out there who also needed to find a way to heal themselves.
Diego and his family emigrated from Ecuador to Boston, Massachusetts when he was 4 years old.
My mom, she worked cleaning houses. My dad worked at a supermarket. So we were really stuck in a poverty trap. And then I think a lot of that tension just got embedded inside of me as well. When I got to college, I could not deal with any tension that was coming up inside of me. I would quickly try to hide it with drugs, with smoking, with going to more parties.
What was the breaking point for you?
It was right after college. This time I pushed my body to the edge. And I took, an assortment of different drugs. I felt like my heart was gonna explode. I ended up talking to a doctor after that episode, and she told me what I described to her sounded like a mild heart attack.
How has being first generation American affect your overall outlook of life, especially in that point?
The first thought is my parents. I saw the immense sacrifice that they made to just give us the chance at a better opportunity. I felt like I was giving all of that up by just filling myself with more and more pleasure just so that I could run away from my pain. I knew that the only way out was to start telling myself the truth.
In 2011, Diego started taking small steps toward building positive habits. These improvements eventually led him to daily meditation.
So the meditation has given me a way to process these like really tough emotions. And when something challenging happens, I notice that I can feel my reaction, but it's not as overwhelming as it used to be.
And meditation gave you the clarity and creativity to write and share.
Definitely. I mean, I was never creative before meditating. You know, and I didn't go into meditating to become more creative. When the mind becomes lighter and it's not as burdened by past hurt that you carry, this creativity bubbles up.
Diego's poems have been liked and shared thousands of times. And in his newest book, titled Lighter, Diego shares his own journey and advice on how to achieve personal transformation.
What do you hope is the biggest takeaway for people who come to you and look to your words?
I hope they take away inspiration. It's really possible to transform your life. It's really possible to sort of take that big leap forward in your own evolution.
Makes it so possible and concrete in this book. I'm telling you, if you haven't gone on an introspective journey yet, now is the time.
Yeah.
Do it, read it. I'm telling you, it will change you.
Amazing, and we're so excited because Young Pueblo is here. We're gonna get to talk with him and dive a little deeper after the break.
Join Hoda Kotb for a brand new season of her podcast, Making Space.
For season 5, I am making space to talk to people who are providing a sense of hope and inspiration when life changes course.
Uplifting conversations with inspiring individuals like NFL legend Drew Brees, singer-songwriter Ziggy Marley, and Today Show co-anchor Savannah Guthrie as you have never heard her before.
I found faith more viscerally, not because the bad thing didn't happen, but because it did.
I promise you, like me, will leave these conversations with some wisdom for your own journey, empowered and inspired to make space in your own life.
New episodes of Making Space with Hoda Kotb are released every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
If you ever needed to be persuaded that bad things can happen anywhere, then take a journey with us.
From compelling mysteries to in-depth investigations, our Dateline episodes are available as podcasts.
Follow Dateline NBC now to get new episodes every Tuesday. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or datelinepremium.com.
Great storytelling with a twist from the true crime original.
We're back with best-selling author and poet Diego Perez, who goes by the pen name Young Pueblo. You've probably seen him on Instagram. Well, he's got a new book out, and it is called Lighter. We just saw that amazing piece with you, Diego, and one of the things that struck us was you said you didn't realize you were creative until you had a until you meditated and had a chance to kind of clear all the muck out from your brain so you could let it out.
Totally. I had no idea. I never saw myself as a creative person. But honestly, after I did about 3 silent 10-day courses, I felt that creativity bubbling up. And I felt my intuition really telling me, you know, it's time to write. Even though you're not fully healed, even though you're not fully wise, you know you have a long way to go. But just write about healing being possible, because I noticed the significant differences in my mind.
You know, it's so interesting because so many of us are kind of covering pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, and I love that you have said it's okay to feel. It's
totally.
Okay to have those emotions. And if you have to. Mm-hmm. Do you remember, like, what you used to do, the before and when you felt?
Oh, before. I mean, as soon as I would feel that tension, whether it was some type of fear or some type of anxiety, I would try to go smoke as quickly as possible, whether it was like a cigarette or smoke marijuana or just try to cover up my sensations, basically, in some way or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. We, Jenna and I, love your quotes, and we'll just share a couple of them and just maybe talk a little bit about them, because when I look at you, I know people at home are going, well, I want to feel creative.
Yeah.
I want to feel calm. Is it possible for people to feel what you're feeling, to have that clarity?
Yes, I don't think it's unique to me at all. I think it's something that anyone can do. And that creativity shows up for people in different ways. So, like, whether you're a presenter, whether you're a doctor, whether you're an engineer, if you start deeply healing your mind and really allowing that unconditioning to happen, you know, because we carry so much within ourselves.
Yeah.
If you start allowing that to burn away through some process or another, then you're going to notice a burst of creativity happening in your life.
Okay, we're going to share some of our favorites. I feel like this one, maybe Hoda sent to me recently.
I did send to you.
She texted me.
Yeah.
It's a really nice way to wake up with a text from you and via Hoda. The undeniable radiance of someone who is not afraid to grow, to be free, and thrive.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that it's pretty common. When people start deeply healing themselves, they radiate in a different way. Like, they're able to just come in contact with how they actually want to show up in the world, as opposed to how their past wants them to show up. Because that's often what happens, is that something difficult, a difficult situation arises, and your old self will want to show up, as opposed to how you want to intentionally show up in the present.
You know what's funny? There was a woman who was just on with Andrew Lloyd Webber, and she walked through and she was like, hey, I just want to say something to you. And she looked at me and she said, I just want to let you know I've been thinking about you and praying for you. And as I looked at her, I felt like this incredible moment. Mm-hmm. And it was something that wasn't concrete. I didn't know her well. It was just, it was that. It was like she was alive. She had something inside of her that was like luminous to me. And I was like, I was still dazzled. When she left, I was like, wait, where are you going? Because she had to leave. It was time to go. But people do give that off. Here's one that we like too. Maturity is knowing that when your mood is down, you should not trust the way you see yourself.
Yes.
Like, it's a bad moment, not a bad
life.
Yeah,
that's a really important one, because as soon as your mood goes down and your emotions feel heavy, you'll want to just jump into self-critique and you'll start telling yourself things that are totally untrue. Like, you haven't actually gotten that far, or, you know, you're just like sort of building this narrative that isn't based on reality at all. So I try to, you know, tell myself and tell other people, when your mind feels heavy, just pause, focus on treating yourself gently. And when you actually feel better, that's when you want to take a step back and do some self-analysis, right? Mm-hmm. And don't examine yourself from now to yesterday, right? That's not a good scope of who you are. Examine yourself from when you began to where you are now.
Yeah, you know, I think when we watched that piece with you and we saw the pictures of you as a little boy, you know, you talked about sort of this pressure to be successful for your parents, not fail. Mm-hmm. Was that kind of what weighed on you? And what do your parents think about this incredible man that you become?
Yeah, I think it was hard. You know, it was hard seeing my parents go through this immense challenge of trying to keep our family afloat. And we were just, you know, like I said before, we were stuck in a poverty trap. And it was quite difficult for us to come out of it until I became older, until my brother became older, my little sister. And now we can support ourselves, help our parents as well. And I think my parents are just, they're really grateful that the gamble paid off for all three of us. Because coming to the United States, it's, you know, it's a bit of a risk, but it worked out for us.
Well, I have your book by my bedside. It's one of those you can open up, read one beautiful line, and go to sleep and sleep really well. So
she actually goes to bed with your words in her head every night.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they make her feel lighter.
That's a big honor.
Big for me, too. Thank you.
And they make her feel lighter. And I think if you want that light, it's here.
And you got to get the book, Lighter. Yeah. And also, your other two books are amazing. I like all three. But get this one, because it's new. Right. There's more with Diego after the show. Go to Hoda and Jenna's Instagram, our page, where he's hanging out with Donna. He's going to answer some questions on Instagram Live. That's at 11:15 Eastern. Also, don't forget to check out his new book, Lighter. Head to today.com/books.
I like that you just talked about yourself in third person. Okay, coming up next, we're cooking up something fun. So stick around after this.
I like this one, too. If time actually heals you. You know, it's rainy, but they don't care, and we're so happy they're outside. It's good to see y'all.
Oh, so awesome. Okay, you know what? They may be celebrating because we are. It's National Taco Day.
It is the perfect excuse for a Taco Tuesday taste test with our pal and our great producer, Katie. Katie, by the way, styling.
Katie, thank you.
Pretty.
Also, my last name does mean style. But anyways, let's continue. So it's National Taco Day, as you know. It's also National Vodka Day and National Cinnamon Bun Day, but we're here to focus on tacos.
How do you celebrate all three of those? Okay.
We'll find out.
Okay, we're ready.
So same thing as the queso segment. We're going to kind of taste them all and then rank our favorites. There's an even playing field here because they're all chicken and they're all hard show.
Let's each try the same.
Let's go with yellow first, but okay.
Yellow. She said yellow first.
Okay, we do what she does.
Notice that one might have a little sauce on it, a little cheese and just a little bit of lettuce. A mild sauce. That might be a hint. That might be a hint to what it is. You can also add spicy to that one.
Okay. Okay. Don't confuse us, Katie.
Yeah. I'm just trying to let you know what you're tasting.
Drink.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
A little palate.
Clear our palate.
Yeah.
I took too big of a bite. Okay. Next one.
Okay.
This one has guac
on
top.
Good TV.
I don't know.
Which is a little different than the others.
Uh oh.
Don't worry. We have napkins.
Okay.
Hot. That's two.
Okay. Let's go orange.
This is all ground?
This is a lot.
No, this is all chicken. It's all different kinds of chicken, but all chicken. I love that Jenna's just going in the top. You gotta get like the hunch though. You gotta kind of like bend so it doesn't get on your shirt.
I like that.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh no.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Let's not show what's happening back here on the ground.
That has a kick to it.
It is?
I didn't have a little bit. That one has pickled red onions on top. Now, what's your favorite kind of taco shell? I'm curious. Flour or hard shell?
I like
hard.
Yeah. I don't like hard. Same. I like soft. What? A soft taco.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm going to say something controversial.
You don't like it.
Minus the onions, they all taste the exact same.
What?
Hoda?
Wait, hold on. No, this one tastes different.
They shouldn't taste the same. They're very, very different. I guess the chicken could do that. Okay. I personally like a ground beef taco.
Me too.
No, we're going to go backwards. Oh, you just...
Okay, go to four. Go to four.
Four is...
I don't know one of these two.
Four.
Put it on the little tile.
Three.
Okay.
Two. And?
One.
We like the pickles. Tell us.
Qdoba.
Yeah. You can never go wrong. Qdoba, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And because it's National Taco Day, we have a taco teeny, like a Choco Taco. Cody Goldstein from Muddling Memories came up with this one.
Choco Taco.
It has cold brew, heavy cream, a little bit of syrup.
It's good. My mom told me never to put heavy cream in my alcohol. No.
Oh. My mom never said to waste alcohol.
Wait,
so
that's
here.
What your mom said?
She sure did.
Okay, hold on.
It's delicious.
Good luck. I hope you don't have any shoots
later.
You know
what that's right?
And we'll be back right after this. Thanks for joining us, y'all, and enjoy that Taco Tuesday. Bye.
He would lie his way into their dreams.
He was
looking for James Bond girls.
How fun would that be to be a Bond girl?
Then twist them into a nightmare.
This guy's done this before. He'll do it again.
Until a group of women banded together to put him behind bars and keep him there.
You have to participate fiercely, fiercely in what happens next.
I'm Keith Morrison, and this is Murder in the Hollywood Hills, an all-new podcast from Dateline.
All episodes of Murder in the Hollywood Hills are available now. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or DatelinePremium.com.